What is the big money hearing about the election tomorrow? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We've been talking to consultants who advise corporate clients on the politics of the moment. And when we reached out to one to talk about the direction of economic policy, if it's Clinton or if it's Trump, something interesting happened. Listen to a portion of this conversation I had with Stephen Miro, managing partner at Beacon Policy Advisors, an independent policy research company. Miro watches fiscal and tax policy, financial services, and more for private sector clients. He joined us from our Washington, D.C. bureau.
You know, to be frank, we haven't spent much time at Beacon Policy Advisors thinking about a Trump cabinet and his advisors, because we just don't see a viable path for him to become president. And we focused almost all of our attention really on what the Clinton administration's going to be looking like.
Really? It seems like there are some viable paths for him.
You know, we spent a lot of time on this, and we just don't see how it can happen. What the markets are getting right is that Clinton is going to win, despite the anxiety that some investors have felt over the last week. What they're getting wrong is how she would govern. And they're over assuming the level of gridlock. If the Democrats are able to take control of the Senate, which we think is the more likely outcome, then a Clinton administration, or at least the first term of a Clinton administration, would be far more progressive, at least on domestic policy, than even the second term of the Obama administration.
You see this conventional wisdom that even if Secretary Clinton does win, that it'll still be a good helping of same old, that there'll be obstructionist from her opponents, that she'll govern from the center if she can govern at all. And you're saying, no, pay attention to the Senate. She could be governing from the center left more than you in financial markets are thinking.
The overwhelming objective of any first-term president is to become a second-term president. So for her to stand a chance at re-election, she's going to have to win over the progressive movement. And at the same time, you're going to have people like Elizabeth Warren taking a trust but verify approach, where if the Senate is only held by the Democrats by, you know, 0, 1, 2 seats, then she's going to have that leverage the way she did with, say, Antonio Weiss from the Treasury Department under the Obama administration to say, not progressive enough. I'm not going to provide the support. And that's the last thing that Hillary Clinton can afford in her first year in office, is to have someone like Elizabeth Warren stand up and block one of her nominees for not being progressive enough.
Stephen Miro at Beacon Policy Advisors in D.C. So the view that it's time to focus on Clinton policy because she may have it in the bag. But noted pollster of pollsters, Nate Silver of the 538 outfit, is still putting the chances this morning of a Trump victory at 1 in 3. So the question about who would run his economic policy remains an important one. Arguably, the top financial policy official, besides the president, tends to be the U.S. Treasury Secretary. And for that position, there are signs suggesting the Trump team is warming to a man named Steve Mnuchin, a former partner at the investment giant Goldman Sachs. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has more.
So in addition to being a partner at Goldman, Steve Mnuchin also worked at George Soros' hedge fund for a long time. And now he's a movie producer. He's helped fund Avatar and some of the X-Men movies. And like Trump, he came from a rich New York family. In terms of policy, we know Trump wants to repeal Dodd-Frank, the regulations on banks. Mnuchin, as far as we know, has just said he'd look at it. It's also worth noting that he's donated to Democrats as well as Republicans over the years, including donations to both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton when they each ran for Senate and president in the 2000s. So it's a pretty strong choice, a strong statement, rather, choosing such a Wall Street guy to head the Treasury. And it also might not sit well with some conservatives.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. The markets readouts now. The Dow future is up 1.3% or 236 points. The NASDAQ future is up 1.6%. The S&P future up 1.4%. Myriad factors drive this, but one market participants are talking about are the headlines about the FBI deciding there was nothing actionable in those new Clinton-connected emails from 10 days ago. The FTSE in London is up 1.4%. Many in markets had been betting on a Clinton win, and the FBI news reinforces that bet. That's the logic. As the Brexit vote in Britain showed, market participants can be wrong about these things. you don't give up your rights in this democracy just because you're in the hospital. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports on what people who are sick can do tomorrow.
If you land in the hospital on Election Day, at least 13 states, including Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Texas, allow patients to access what's called an emergency absentee ballot. To find out how to get that ballot, Deborah Cleaver with the nonpartisanvote.org says,
call your local election office. That is actually the only thing you can and should do.
Cleaver says the easiest way to do that is to go to U.S. Vote Foundation and use the Election Official Directory. It appears just a few hospitals around the country, including Meredith Medical Center in Maryland and Sutter Health Hospitals in Northern California, have programs for patients. Cambridge Health Alliance psychiatry resident Jennifer Okwiru, who plans to help patients in Boston tomorrow, would like to see that change.
It's not something that we think about very often, so nobody really knows how to execute this procedure.
Okwiru says part of delivering health means seeing patients as the full person they are and helping them exercise their constitutional right to vote. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Thanks, Dan. And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.